Year, and because we're at the start of another new year, I thought it would be good to look at this theme of signposts, signs, and directions. Mark preached recently about life being all about the journey. Now, we've just verified tonight in the first game that I'm not a very good map reader at all. I couldn't even work out that that was the kitchen where we were supposed to be going on the plan. I'm really not a very good map reader. But I do know that maps and signs are very useful in getting us to where we want to go. And it's difficult to get to where you want to go if you don't have some kind of guide. Now, these days, I think I've got some slides, we've got things like GPS on our mobile phones. We've got sat-navs, and they guide us, you know, to where we want to go. Or, I think we've got a picture of a sat-nav somewhere. Next one. You know, we've got sat-navs, we've got Google Maps, so that you can actually go and look at the streets and everything before you go to a strange place. Sometimes you can even, you know, put the little Google man there and walk the street and see what it looks like, so that you can find out where you're going and what it looks like. And that, you know, those tools really help us to stop us getting lost. And they make us feel, you know, that we know where we're going when we're going to somewhere unfamiliar. But you need reliable signs if you're going to travel. And again, I think in France particularly, when we've been on holiday in France, the signposts leave a lot to be desired, usually because they're angled slightly. So when they're actually telling you to go straight on, it looks like they're telling you to go right or left because they're at an angle. And you also have some really quite bizarre French signs. Here we've got a sign that says, at the bottom it says toute direction, which means all directions. But the one above it, pointing in the opposite direction, says autre direction, other directions. Now, quite how you can have all directions going one way, and, you know, surely all means all, you know, everything. You've got something in the opposite direction. I really don't know which way you're supposed to go if you're following that one. And, of course, you know, confusing signs aren't only found in France. I found some really quite bizarre signs when I was looking on the internet. So here we've got a sign on the next one where the road is clearly going to the left, but you've got a sign that says, keep right. How you manage that if the road's not going there, I don't know. Or we've got one that says, do not enter, and then immediately below it, it says, enter only. You know, which one are you supposed to do? You wouldn't know whether to go in or not, would you, if you saw that? And then there's this sign. I'm really not sure where north and east are in relation to that one, because you've got, you know, northeast, north, south, then you've got east and north, and all. I wouldn't have a clue what I was following if I was looking at that. And then, of course, there are signs that you can understand, but they've got some very strange messages. This is a sign from a national park. Okay. Please look under your vehicle for penguins. Now, for most of us, I don't think we've ever seen a sign like that, and I certainly don't think that I go looking under the car for penguins wherever I am. The next one, you know, don't throw your cigarettes on the floor, the cockroaches are getting cancer. You know, well, poor cockroaches, but, you know, I can't imagine anybody making that one. And probably the men will like this one, you know, do not gossip, let him drive. Yeah, don't get distracted while you're driving. Now, obviously, in the UK, you need to know your highway code, don't you, if you're going to pass your test. But this is a sign that somebody's made that says that that's easier said than done. Says there that 35% of British drivers thought that the sign that had the motorbike and the car, okay, that sign, they thought that it meant that only those vehicles were allowed. When actually it's the opposite. It means that they're not allowed. Those are banned vehicles. Or the sign that's at sort of 1 o'clock, if you're looking at it as a clock sign, most people thought that that meant no waiting rather than, you know, no parking. Lower down, this one with the vehicles should go side by side to reach the same destination. Okay, this one with the arrows. What it actually means is that, you know, that's what it means. You should go side by side to reach the same destination. But most people, it says, thought it meant go around an obstacle in the road. You know, I mean, 35%, that's quite a lot, isn't it, really? The yellow signs, 33%, it says, thought that they were only for truck drivers. Okay? They're actually diversion signs that you get, you know, if the road's blocked and they've put you on another road. But, you know, if you think that that's only for truck drivers, you're going to ignore it, aren't you? And apparently, nearly 25% of people thought this, the 30 sign with the line through it, meant don't go under 30 miles per hour, rather than that actually being 30 miles per hour as the limit. So, obviously, with all these different kinds of signs, we need reliable signposts if we're going to drive safely on our roads and reach our destinations. And just as we've got maps and signposts for when we're going on a journey, in our Christian journeying, we need to have clear directions and signposts if we're going to travel on the right paths. And I'd like us to look at Psalm 19, a psalm that talks about the splendor of God's creation. It starts saying, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And it shows us the magnificence of all that God's made. And I'm going to read verses 8 through to 12, but in the Message version. So it's Psalm 19, if you've got it, but in the Message version, verse 8 says, "The signposts of God are clear and point out the right road." Verse 8 says, "The directions of God are plain and easy on the eye." Verse 9 says, "The life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy." And verses 11 to 12 go on to say there's more. God's word warns us of danger and directs us to hidden treasure. Otherwise, how will we find our way or know when we play the fool? And those verses show us that God gives us directions on how to live, how to journey with him. It says that his signposts are clear. They point out the right road to us. That his directions are plain, not like these road signs that we've been looking at tonight. It tells us that his life maps are right and they lead us to joy. That his word warns us of danger and directs us to treasures that might be hidden. And God's given us in his word clear directions and signposts to show us the best ways of living and travelling. Jeremiah told the people of Israel in the Old Testament, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls." If we want to do well in life, if we want to live according to God's ways, we've got to find out what the ancient paths are, those tried and true paths that provide us with the right routes for our souls. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." If you've ever gone on a journey to somewhere unfamiliar and you've got lost en route, you know that it's difficult to decide which way to go. There might be signs there. The signs might be really nice or good, but perhaps they're in a foreign language like these ones in the next slide, and you don't know what they say. So in essence, you know, it's no help to you. If you saw a sign like that, unless you speak those languages, it wouldn't really help you very much. That you might get helpful signs. Perhaps they've got the place names of where you need to go. But if you can't find those place names on your map, and you don't really know then which way to go. Last year we were travelling home from Ireland, and we needed to get to the port in Dublin to take the ferry back home. And we thought, well, that's really easy, you know, we'll set the sat-nav, we'll put Dublin port in it, and we'll get home. What we didn't know at the time, that there were two ports in Dublin, and our sat-nav was determined to take us to the wrong one. And we knew that we couldn't be that far away because we were actually in the centre of Dublin, but we still didn't know which way to go to get to the port where we needed to go. In fact, if it hadn't been for this lady that stopped and actually drove ahead of us to show us, I don't think we would have got to the ferry on time. We need directions, you know, that are going to guide us through life because we've got so many choices to make. And we don't always know what to do. The path that perhaps looks the most direct way on the map might not turn out to be the best choice. We've got a friend who lives on the outskirts of London, and the sat-nav always wants to take us on the M1. But we prefer to go on the A1, because although it looks a longer route on a map, usually there are fewer roadworks, and we can get there just as quickly. by going on the A1, and it, you know, lands up more or less exactly where she lives. Jesus said to his disciples that the path that seems the most popular and is used by most people isn't the one that actually leads us to life. Instead, we've got to choose that narrow path that maybe looks as though it's winding or it's a tight fit and it's not going anywhere. And John Bunyan took that theme in his book, The Pilgrim's Progress. That looks at a man that's named Christian, representative of every believer, and he sets off on this journey from the city of destruction, and he's heading for the celestial city, heaven. But it says, you know, in that book, the easy path soon turns into the slough of despond, where there's no firm footing. You can't get through it. You can only get through if you go through the narrow gate. And if, like John Bunyan, we think of the Christian life as a journey, being with God is our ultimate destination, we need signposts and directions to help us on our way. When we become a Christian, that's the start of the journey. It's an essential start, but it's still just a start. And one of the words that we find in the Bible to describe those who follow Jesus is a disciple. And a disciple is somebody who's always learning, always growing. Last year, I preached a lot on growing up in God, spiritual growth and maturity. Every new year is an opportunity for us all as individuals and as a church to grow, to learn more, to grow more so that we're even more fruitful for God. And another word that we don't actually find in the Bible, but its meaning is there, is pilgrim, this word that's used by John Bunyan in A Pilgrim's Progress. And a pilgrim is a person who journeys to a sacred place to meet with God. Pilgrims are people who are going somewhere, a little bit like Abraham, who it says in Hebrews, by faith, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. And pilgrims are people who are travelling towards God. And we might feel that we don't know where we're going, a little bit like Thomas, when he said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? But Jesus answered Thomas, saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus isn't only our destination, our goal being to be with God, but he's actually the way that we get there. You know, in Revelation 21, verse 3, it says, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. But Jesus is actually the way that we get to God. We journey towards God. We're not just tourists who are interested in, you know, a city and all its landmarks and everything like that. We're not just flicking through the Bible as you do with a guidebook when you go to an unfamiliar city and you want to find the best things to go and see. But we're disciples, we're pilgrims. We want to find out what God has to say about life, and we want to live according to his ways. Mark's been preaching on Joseph recently, and he preached not so long ago saying that it's not all about the fulfillments of our dreams or even God's dreams in our lives. It's about the journey that we make with God and all he's got to teach us on the journey. It's about running the race with perseverance. In Hebrews 12 it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And those verses from Hebrews 12 remind us that the Christian life is really more of a marathon than a sprint. You know, it's a long race that we have to run with perseverance. One of the things that I really like about a sat-nav is it tells you how long it should take you to get to your destination. So you've got some idea of how your journey is progressing. And at the end, you usually have this picture of a checkered flag. I think I've got that next. Yeah, you get like as if you're in this race, like we had on the race before, the finish sign, so that you know when you're going to get there. And of course, that sign you normally have at the end of a Formula One race, don't you? A driver will know, you know, when he's approaching the finish line. And of course, that's difficult for us in life, isn't it? because we don't really know when our checkered flag's, you know, going to come. We don't know the exact course of this race that we're running. It feels so often as though we're travelling blind. But Hebrews reminds us that the only way that we can keep running is to fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author, the pioneer, the start, the beginning of our faith. And he's the perfecter, the completer, the finisher of it. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's the one who's begun a good work in us, and he's going to bring that work to completion or perfection. You know, because I'm not very good at map reading, I get quite stressed when I'm in an unfamiliar place following directions. I'm also not very good at judging distances. So if somebody says turn left in 200 metres or something like that, I'm constantly counting and wondering if I've gone the 200 metres yet or not. And I think we can be like that in life, you know, wondering if we're on the right path, wondering if perhaps if we've taken a wrong turn or gone the wrong way. In Psalm 119, in the Message version again, it says, barricade the road that goes nowhere. Grace me with your clear revelation. I choose the true road to somewhere. I post your road signs at every curve and corner. And sometimes we can feel, I think, because we can't see this checkered flag yet, we can't see where the finish is, because we don't know where we're going or when we'll reach our destination, because God's timing is so different to ours, that we're bound to lose our way en route. You know, perhaps we look at our lives and think, well, are we at that point where we need to turn left or right? Have we reached the crossroads? You know, we need to be confident, though, that God's leading and directing us. And he's perfectly capable of closing doors that we shouldn't go through and opening doors for us that lead to new things. As long as we fix our eyes on Jesus, he's going to lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Life's not meant to be lived in this state of permanent anxiety about the paths that we're walking along. God wants to lead us and direct us, and he's able to speak clearly to us and to guide us at all times. And Psalm 119, longest psalm in the Bible, talks a lot about God's laws and his word, and it shows us that the best way to find God's direction and signposts for our life is to really get to know God's word. The psalm starts, you're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow his directions, doing your best to find him. That's right, you don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road that he set. This is what Gary said this morning, that we walk in a straight line until God speaks to us and tells us to do something different. Later on in that psalm, there's good advice for young people. It says, how can a young person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your word. I'm single-minded in pursuit of you. Don't let me miss the road signs that you've posted. If we want to walk according to God's will and have a safe journey, we do it by carefully reading the map of God's word and following its instructions. We've got to be single-minded in pursuit of God. We have to follow God with all our hearts. The Message version of Matthew 7, where we read about the broad road and the narrow road, says that we're not to be looking for shortcuts all the time. You know, shortcuts, when you know a route really well, they're great, they save you time. But following God requires our wholehearted attention. It's vigorous, it requires our total attention. There's no such thing as being a part-time disciple. And throughout Psalm 119, we get references to following God's word and obeying what he commands. Verses 33 to 35 say, God, teach me lessons for living so I can stay the course. Give me insight so I can do what you tell me. My whole life, one long obedient response. Guide me down the road of your commandments. I love travelling this freeway. And part of knowing how to follow God's way is asking God to give us the insight that we need and to teach us. We need God's direction. We need to know what he wants us to do. And we find those commands and insights in the Bible. And the verses remind us, though, that it's not just about knowing what God tells us to do. We've got to then actually do what he says. Our lives have got to be one long obedient response. You know, it's no good to simply know the commandments if we don't obey them. We've been looking at that in the Bible studies in 1 John. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? He goes on to say, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. The goal isn't what we know, it's obedience." And later on in the psalm, Psalm 119, verses 101 and 102, it says, "I watch my step, avoiding the ditches and the ruts of evil, so I can spend all my time keeping your word. I never make detours from the route you laid out. You gave me such good directions." You know, the world has got many detours, things that would take us off course, things that would make us stumble or fall. In the Pilgrim's Progress, some of those things are talked about, the temptations of the world. Mr. Worldly Wise Man is one of the people that comes to tempt him away from God. The temptation of wealth and possessions. There's a giant called Despair who wants to, you know, take his eyes off God and make him give in. And we have to pray continually, lead us not into temptation, and to be aware that we're in a spiritual battle. We've got an enemy who's like a roaring lion waiting for someone to devour. And our part is to be alert, to keep our eyes and ears open, and to stay close to Jesus, fixing our eyes on him. It's much easier to travel, especially somewhere that you don't really know, in the daytime, isn't it, than at night. When it's dark, it's quite hard to see where you're going, even harder to judge distances. And Psalm 119 says that your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. God's word acts like that light to us on our path. It steadies us when we fear evil around us and perhaps we feel that we don't know where to go. You know, steady my steps with your word of promise. Paul says to the Thessalonians, "You're all children of the light and children of the day. We don't belong to the night or to the darkness." And although our journey might seem to be very dark at times, perhaps we don't know where we're going. You know, perhaps we feel like we're going through the valleys, maybe even in the shadow of death. But God's word says that we need fear no evil because God's there with us in every experience, in every trial, every step of the way. It doesn't always feel like it, but as Jeremy Camp reminds us, "I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own, but there's never been a step where you've walked out all alone." And so, you know, as we start a new year, we probably have different feelings. Some of us might feel anticipation, excitement, expectation. Some of us might feel nervous or uncertain. Some of us might even feel quite despairing, as though there is nothing to look forward to. But whatever our feelings, let's be sure that God walks with us on this journey. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's going to give us the guidance, the protection that we need. Guidance from his word and from his spirit, making truth come alive for us, speaking peace into our hearts. He'll walk alongside us, just as Jesus walked alongside those disciples on the road to Emmaus. He'll give us the joy of his presence, the comfort that only he can bring. And his directions and signposts will lead us onto the right paths. And when we need special directions, he will speak to us. Gary reminded us of this verse this morning. "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" Our part is to immerse ourselves in his guidebook, the Bible. Give God our obedience, our one long obedient response to every direction and commandment he gives us. We're not tourists. We're only in this journey for the short haul. We're learning to be his disciples and his pilgrims, looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God, just like Abraham did. We're still called to fight the good fight, to finish this race, to run with perseverance, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, letting nothing stand in our way. And this year is another footprint in our journey with God. But a footprint reminds us that we're moving, that we're going on in our travel. We're moving on with God. We're reaching for that prize. Paul says in Philippians 3, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Thank you.